Good morning. It's good to be with all of you. I'm grateful for your hospitality last night and this morning, for your attention. You know, everybody wants to have somebody pay attention to them, especially folks on the margins. I for 33 years, I've worked with gang members, and they're always wanting your attention. I had a homie stand in front of my desk, and he said, "Look, I need your divided attention." I said, "Well, you are in luck, because that's exactly what you'll be getting today." As some of you heard me last night, and some of you I can see were here at the earlier service, and that always kind of undoes me a little bit if people have heard me, or YouTube, that's sort of the bane of my existence. And once I was invited to speak at this huge gathering of foster grandparents one summer in Southern California, and I had spoken at it, the same event the year before, the summer before, and I think, why are they inviting me a second time, and afterwards I gave the talk, and this grandmother came up to me, and she grabbed both my hands. I think she liked the talk, because she had big tears in her eyes, and she said, "I heard you last year." It never gets better. So I suppose I'm delusional in thinking that she misspoke there. So, as was mentioned, Epiphany is when the three wise guys make their way to Jesus. They follow the star. They pay homage. Come, let us adore him. Holy infant, tender and mild. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Rise up in splendor. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. Darkness covers the earth. Thick clouds cover the people. But upon you, the Lord shines." And that's kind of how it's supposed to be. Jesus is hoping that we will somehow choose to live as though the truth were true and to put first things recognizably first. Homage, the only time you're really going to see that is this moment where the Magi go and make the trek and follow the star. But you'll never find anywhere in the gospel where Jesus says, "Worship me." Nowhere. He doesn't have any interest in that, in the humility of Jesus and of God. Jesus just wants you to follow. You'll hear in the gospel many times, "Don't be afraid." And you'll hear, "Follow me." But you'll never hear, "Worship me." The Christmas carol, "O Holy Night," says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. And the soul felt its worth." And yeah, it's about Jesus, and yeah, it's about Christmas, but it's really about you. It's about you appearing and the soul feeling its worth, reflective of the moon and the light, the supermoon that you're called to be. It's about appearing, and then suddenly you enter into this exquisite mutuality where we connect to each other, which is God's dream come true. That is the deepest longing of Jesus, is that you take seriously what Jesus took seriously, which are four things: inclusion, nonviolence, unconditional, compassionate, loving kindness. That's one thing. And acceptance. Jesus wants us not to pay homage. Come, let us adore him. No, he wants us to take seriously what Jesus took seriously, to choose to be light and connect with each other. I took two homies with me to speak primarily in D.C., before a congressional subcommittee hearing on gangs, Lewis and Joe, big, huge guys. We needed to ask for seatbelt extenders on the plane. And we were going first to New York before we went to D.C. We had a couple talks in New York. And Joe, huge guy, and he's sitting by the window. He'd never been on a plane. He'd never been to New York. And actually, Lewis grew up there. He spent the first 10 years of his life there. So he turns to Joe. These guys are enemies, rivals. They used to shoot at each other. And here they are on this big trip together. And they were trainees at the time at Homeboy Industries. And so Lewis leans into Joe as he's looking out the window as we're landing in New York City. And he says, "What's on your list of things you want to see in New York?" And Joe was very quick. He says, "I want to see the Statue of Liberty. I want to see the Empire State Building. And, of course, you know, the Eiffel Tower." And Lewis was very understanding. He said, "Fool, that's in Paris," he said to him. And Joe looked at him with a withering glance, and he said, "Well, then I guess I'll cross it off my list then." He said. So we went to D.C. after that, and we spoke in front of the Congressional Subcommittee hearing, and then we did the touristy things, the White House and Washington Memorial and the Washington Monument and Lincoln Memorial. And then we had kind of a block of time, and I said, you know, I brought him to the Holocaust Museum. And if you've ever been there, it's more than a museum. It's really a profound religious experience to walk through there, and I've done that many times with homies. And so I got there and brought them there, and in the lobby I said, "I want you to walk through this on your own and really take it in. And we'll meet back here in the lobby at 3. So they did a couple hours, which just scratched the surface, and then we were back in the lobby. And we were debriefing, and they were talking about how moved they were and how powerful the experience was. When suddenly we saw over, sitting behind a desk, was a man in his 80s, and he's reading a book. And there's a sign in front of the desk that says, "Holocaust Survivor." And there's a chair in front of the desk that seems to invite you to sit in it. And we see this, and Joe says, "Wow, what would you say to somebody who suffered so much?" And Lewis, because he's just the most fearless human being I've ever met, he said, "I'm going to go sit down and talk to him." And we said, "You do that. We'll be in the bookstore, you know." And so Lewis sat in front of him, and he told us about it later. The man's name was Jacob, and he was in his mid-80s and had been in Auschwitz. And he was like 15. He was a teenager. He was a worker, so his life was spared. But both his parents were killed right in front of him. Two older sisters murdered. A niece and nephew executed there as well. But he was a worker, so he survived it. And he told his story from beginning to end to Lewis. And when it was over, Lewis pulled out his card and he says, I work at Homeboy Industries. It's the largest gang intervention rehab reentry program in the world. I hope if you ever come to Los Angeles, you'll visit us. And Jacob studies the card. And then Lewis says, you know, I'm 30 years old, but half my life I've been locked up. And Jacob sort of scoffs a little. He goes, American prisons. You have your own room. You have a bed. We slept on planks. If you said a word in line, they'd pull you out of line and beat you nearly to death. And Lewis listens to him. He said, yeah, you know, once I was pulled out of line at county jail, they beat me so badly. I looked like the Elephant Man when they were done with me. Then they threw me into a cell naked, and I had to sleep on the floor. And Jacob listens to him. It's at that point where I kind of stop Lewis, and I say, Lewis, let me see if I got this right. You were comparing your experience to a Holocaust survivor. And he spoke to me with the clarity of a saint. And he said, no, there is no comparison between what this man suffered and what I went through as a kid. And then he gets even more determined, and his eyes fill up with tears. He said, no, I wasn't competing with him. I was connecting with him. And two souls feel their worth because they chose to arrive in each other's lives and to be light. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines on you. And so you decide to follow, to be Jesus and to see Jesus. And then you decide that the Christ in you is recognizing the Christ in him. And that's God's dream come true. And that is the only homage Jesus has any interest in. I should be saying Mass right now in a juvenile hall in Los Angeles. I do church in the 20 detention facilities we have in Los Angeles County. On a rotating basis, I do that, Saturdays and Sundays. On Saturdays, because I've been living in this parish community for 34 years, I get asked to do stuff. So I do the Masses on Saturday morning, and then I race back to Dolores Mission. And my schedule is always the same, you know, 1 o'clock baptism, 2 o'clock quinceañera, where a girl turns 15, 3 o'clock wedding, 4 o'clock exorcism. just checking to see if you're still listening. I've actually never done one of those, but... So this one day I had finished two Masses out far away, and I got back, you know, it's like 12:40, and I have a baptism at 1. So I go, well, I think I have time to race over to the office. In those days, it was just on First Street near the church, and go through my mail. So I go in there, and I'm all by myself. You know, I'm going through my mail, and I'm just feliz, contento. And when all of a sudden this woman walks into the office, and she's in her like mid-30s. I find out her name is Lisa. And this is the first time she's ever stepped foot in my office. And now I'm looking at the watch and it's 10 minutes to 1 in my baptism. She's kind of well known on First Street. She's a prostitute. She's a heroin addict. She's a gang member. She's a felon. The homies called her La Gritona because she's always screaming. You can always hear her scream next door, yelling at the bartender who throws her out of the bar. You can hear her yelling into a payphone, just let me stay tonight, pleading with family members and friends. And this is the very first time she's ever stepped foot in my office. And now it's 5 minutes to 1. She comes in and she plunks herself down. She launches right in. I need help. Ooh, I've been to like 50 rehabs. I'm known all over nationwide. You know, I went to Catholic school all my life, she says. I went to Catholic elementary. I even graduated from Sacred Heart High School in Lincoln Heights. And then she gets quiet and she says, in fact, the first time I ever used heroin was right after I graduated. And I've been trying to stop since the moment I began. And I watched as she leaned her head against the wall behind her and her eyes became like two ponds, water rising to meet its edges and spilling over. And she cried and she cried until she leveled her gaze at me. And she said, I am a disgrace. And suddenly her shame meets mine. Because when I had seen her step into my office that day, I had mistaken her for an interruption. Come, let us adore him. Holy infant, tender and mild, we pay homage only when we connect to each other. and find that place of exquisite mutuality. And the soul feels its worth. Homeboy Industries is not for those who need help. It's only for those who want it. So we wait. Ours is a God who waits. Who are we not to? But in the old days, I used to ride my bike in the projects, and I'd see homies running up to cars selling crack and posturing and gangbanging. And I'd say, how about a job? And I said that once to a guy named Bandit, who was very kind and said, no thanks, G, I'm okay. He was making money hand over fist, selling drugs. Until one day he walked into my office. Yes, milagro. I couldn't believe that he did. What brought you in here today? What woke your ass up? He said, I don't know. I woke up this morning and I was tired of being tired. So I directed him to one of our job developers, and as luck would have it, they found him an entry-level, low-level paying job, first kind of job, in a warehouse. By 5 years later, he was running the place. He was el mero chingón of the whole damn place. And, you know, now has a house and a wife and three kids. Well, one Friday, late Friday, he calls me, and I hadn't heard from him in a very long time. No news is good news with gang members. And he was kind of had a panicky voice. He said, gee, you have to bless my daughter. I said, why, mijo? ¿Qué pasó? Is she sick or is she in the hospital? Oh, no. On Sunday, she's going to Humboldt College. Imagine my oldest, my Lisa. She's going away to college. But Humboldt is far. And she's just a little chaparita, and do you think you could bless her before she goes? I go, wow, I'd be honored. You know, tomorrow I have an exorcism at 1. why don't you come, you know, at 12:30, bring the whole family, we'll do a little send-off. And sure enough, right on time at 12:30, there they are. And Bandit and his wife and the three kids, including tiny little Lisa. I said, well, stood in front of the altar there, and let's put her in the middle and everybody connect. Only connect. Touch her. Grab her arms. Put your hands on her shoulders. Go ahead, put your hands on her head. Everybody touch her. And so I tell them to bow their heads and to close their eyes. And as the homies say, I do a long-ass prayer. You know, I go on and on. And somewhere in the middle of it, we've all become chillones. We're all crybabies. And you can just hear it, you know. And I don't know why we're crying, except for the fact that Bandit and his wife don't know anybody who's ever gone to college except me. Certainly nobody in their families. So, you know, we finish the prayer and we all kind of mop up afterwards. And, you know, and so kind of to change the subject, I look at little Lisa and I said, hey, what are you going to study at Humboldt College? And she was very quick, forensic psychology. And I go, damn, forensic psychology. And Bandit says, yeah, she wants to study the criminal mind. And Lisa turns and looks at her father and she does one of these, you know. And we all see her, we laugh, and Bandit says, yep, I'm going to be her first subject. So we go out to the car, and it's big abrazos, and everybody says goodbye, and they pile in the car. But Bandit hangs back, and I'm glad he did. I said, oye, mijo, can I tell you something? I give you credit for the man you've chosen to become, for choosing to walk in your own footsteps. I'm proud of you. And his eyes fill up with tears. And he says, you know what? I'm proud of myself. All my life, people called me a lowlife, a bueno para nada, good for nothing. I guess I showed them. I said, yeah, I guess you did. And the soul feels its worth. Exactly what God had in mind. Come, let us adore him. That's the only homage Jesus has any interest in, that we will connect to each other, that we will somehow choose to take seriously what Jesus took seriously, that we will be in the world who God is as Jesus was, compassionate, loving, kind. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines on you. Yeah, darkness has covered the earth. Yeah, of course, thick clouds cover the people. But on you, the light shines. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till you appear. And you appear. And the soul feels its worth. Thank you all very much.